All right, good morning, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for December 1st, 2020. First item on the agenda is the call to order, followed by comments from the public. Are there any public comments this morning?
Raised, and I don't have any chats.
Randy, this is Les Clark. I just wanted to make a comment that I know the directors may have received the entire packet late, as I believe the rest of us did. But anyway, it's just a growing trend by CSD to have the packets later and later. And just wanted to note that District Code Chapter 3 of the District Code, page 11, states agenda packets will be published Friday or Saturday before the meeting and available to the public. And then I know it was a holiday last week, but it's been a growing trend. And I just wanted to point that out.
Followed by pound.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'm sure that the holiday did have something to do with it. Paul was out last week, which probably didn't help anything either. So no other comments. Let's move on then.
You are in the meeting now. There are 11 participants in the meeting.
Reviewing the update, Paul.
Amelia, would you please mute everybody?
And then I'll unmute Paul, if that's okay.
All right. So monthly updates, here we go. So at the wastewater reclamation plant, the E-Staff, having the saturation tank pressure vessel in a separate memo for approval. Some of these items were moved around and renamed due to confusion. So bear with me. I've always called them certain things. So we just tried to clarify some of the naming to make things more easily understood for the public. So at the wastewater reclamation plant, E-Staff, we've got a lot of corrosion going on there. I'm continuing to follow up on what we can do to replace that. I've reached out to several vendors, and including the original vendor that supplied the facility, which is West Tech. They have been out here once, and they're coming out again today. They've provided a quote as to costs related to a full replacement. Full replacement isn't generally necessary. However, I wanted to know what that cost would be and what the timeline would be for that. Full replacement would be over $900,000 and take about 29 weeks, which is over 7 months to facilitate. So, and in light of this COVID situation and shipping and everything, I imagine that would probably take even longer if something with COVID got thrown in the mix. So, there's a great concern to even proceed with anything like that. But since they were originally out here and looked at that and gave me that quote, we were able to draw the tank down. It's offline, clean it out, and look at areas of concern in there. And that's why we're bringing them out again today to look at what is imminently necessary to replace to keep the facility running. And just on what staff has seen so far, we believe that if we change out some of the items which are called tie rods that hold up the rake arms that turn around within the DAF unit, which is the dissolved air flotation tank, and then did a little maybe steel patching in some areas as indicated from where the blowout was, that we could probably get through another season, no problem. Thank you, Amelia. Scrolling down, showing the corrosion issues that we can see. It's pretty extensive. It's mainly just exterior rust. We don't see anything that where we see major delamination other than at joints for the pipe connections. Those pipes that are shown within there, most of them, like that one's steel that Amelia had the mouse on, that's of great concern, and that we're looking to replace that. And then those rods that hold, that are going up at an angle, those are the tie rods. We're looking to replace those as well. If you could scroll down a little, Amelia. So when you look down in the tank, generally the condition's good. The bottom is concrete. The whole tank structure itself is quarter inch steel, and it welds to a base plate that's embedded in the concrete. So if you did a full replacement, everything would get scrapped, and then they fabricate a new tank system over the top. I'm looking to potentially piecemeal a replacement project to replace only what's would be needed, and then probably doing another coating project where you'd sandblast down to white metal and coat it with water, you know, an approved epoxy coating for that type of condition. And there's various coating products available for that. So my recommendation at this point probably is, you know, just to do some minor repairs, as I noted, with the tie rods and anything that we encounter, such as that steel pipe that's feeding the tank. And then do a coating project and major replacements next season when the facility's offline. But today I'm going to go through, as I mentioned, with West Tech and evaluate it even further. If you can scroll down, Amelia, please. So with the water rights renewal movement, are there any questions with that?
Paul, so the other tank, is there newer technology as far as corrosion protection than just the coating? Is there something else that we can do as far as running currents or something? Or I guess it's a question for the people that are coming out today. Or I'm curious as to whether or not our other tanks have a different system of corrosion protection.
Great question. So yes, for example, the water treatment tanks, when I arrived here, everybody probably recalls around 2006 and 7, the Rios wood tank, which serves units 3 and 4 and 3B, was a welded steel tank, and the beams were sitting in the bottom of the tank because of the excessive corrosion that was going on there. When we put a project together to rehab that tank, we did put magnesium rods in there and a cathodic protection system. So those rods function as a sacrificial anode, exactly like you were suggesting. You can do systems like that on a tank like this as well. You just have to find a place for your sacrificial anodes that you can place within the tank. The problem with that tank, it's a little tricky because you have moving parts in there. So you just have to find a good spot to put those things in there where they're not going to obstruct the rotation of the rake arms that are collecting sludge at the bottom of the tank and skimming the floated algae scum at the surface of the tanks. But that can definitely be looked at and considered. And the Van Vleck tank, by the way, is a concrete, pre-stressed concrete tank. And there's not any major concerns in there that we've seen with corrosion.
Paul, this is Martin.
Yes.
There's two of these tanks, right?
Yes, there's two DAF tanks, correct.
What do we know about the second one? The other one?
It's in similar condition, but not as bad. It seems like the last coating job we did on there is holding up a little better than the one on this tank, oddly enough. So from what we've seen in there, it looks like it's got at least another 5 years of viability going on with that. The saturation tank, which is another issue we'll get to a little later. There's one for each facility, the east side and the west side DAF tanks. The west DAF saturation tank was replaced several years ago with a stainless steel one because of the same issues we're encountering right now with the east DAF's saturation tank.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Yep.
No more questions, no hands up.
So on the water rights renewal, as I had mentioned previously, we've submitted the application, it's been received, and we've got some note from Department of Fish and Wildlife that they're looking at it from their point of view, but as it relates to the State Water Resources Control Board's review of it, it may be a long time before we hear back on anything. And just as a reminder that our current water right remains unaffected as this application is in and being processed. The other one stays valid until the other one's processed. So there's no issues with that. The chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion. I did a separate memo update specifically in relation to that as requested by Tom. Dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans. We've received the letters of receipt that the emergency action plans for Calero, Chesbrough, and Michigan Bar 1 dams have been received by Office of Emergency Services, and our consultants report that they've actually received some comments back on those as well, and that they'll be working on those comments. So that's pretty good. We've already heard back after a couple months. Moving on with development projects. So I've just provided the link for where it's at on our website. Because on the website, I provide more detailed maps of where each development is proceeding and the number of lots being built on it. So if you want more detail, it's available on our website. As it relates to the retreats east and north, there's really no update to that their projects extended their tentative maps, but there's been no update from the developer as to when they wish to proceed with that.
Paul, yes, this is Les Clark. Just had a question. I was wondering if with that tentative map extension, would it be appropriate for CSD staff to review the conditions of approval again and possibly write a letter to the developer? Of all the impacts that might be addressed prior to the plan approval so that it's on record that the list of things that CSD is concerned about on the conditions of approval is attended to. I know it's not pending, but it was just an idea.
Yes, sir. We actually have already, this project at one point started to proceed a few years back, I believe around 2017. They submitted development plans for it. We had our engineering consultant at the time was AECOM, and they provided review of those plans and comments along with, I think, Ed Krause was district engineer at the time and had some comments on it as well as my comments. So we did provide a whole bunch of comments back on any conditions of concern back then, so we have those available and the developer has those available should that project start back up. And moving on with Rancho North development, again, no real update there. From the last update, they said they were working on a notice of preparation for that project. For the Murrieta Gardens Highway 16 offsite improvements. Really no update on that Tom signed off on that project, so that project's basically considered complete, and I'll probably remove it from further updates. On the Murrieta Gardens Lot 4 and 5 projects, that project has been signed off as substantially complete as well, and I'll probably remove it from future updates as well. On the Murrieta Gardens Marketplace, this is one of those interesting ones that is a sub-project of Murrieta Gardens project as a whole, like all these ones that have MG in front of them are listed as. We signed off, the district signed off on the project to allow the Bel Air to proceed with getting occupancy, et cetera. However, the Marketplace project has the basin tied to it, and they're still utilizing the basin as a active best management practice for their stormwater control for the other projects. So it's somewhat active, and that's why that project's not closed out as well, because the basin's still active as part of it. On Murrieta Gardens Legacy Villas and Suites, otherwise known as Lot 7, those plans have been reviewed and finalized and signed off by the district's engineer. But I have yet to receive a date as to when they want to start with that project. Murrieta Gardens Lot 10 project, Coastland provided submittal plan check comments back to the project. And so no word as to when that project intends to proceed as of yet. Tom and I did meet with the lot owner of the project manager as well. He's the owner and project manager, and he was, I believe, hinting that potentially he might be moving forward on this next summer, but nothing in stone as of yet. On Lot 11, Coastland provided submittal plan check comments back to the project. Everything was good except for a little back and forth of concern that as there's going to be a food service, which I believe is a Subway within the project, the district requires that external grease interceptors or sewer interceptors are installed, so it catches any grease or debris coming from the commercial facilities that are there. And the project wants to put an undersink one instead. And so there's some back and forth between Coastland and us on, and the project on that. Murrieta Gardens 1 and 2 infrastructure. There was a call for final project inspections last week, and Coastland's inspector reviewed the items left to be completed. And I believe there's just one minor item that's being worked through for final acceptance as of right now. At the Murrieta Business Park at the end of Camptoba Way, district utilities there are complete. Can't mute my phone. that project's completing their buildings there. And Tom reports that buildings are nearly complete from the last time he was over there as well. No update on residences in Murrieta Hills East. For the Riverview project, this is really active with review back and forth with Coastland and myself. And they want to move forward on that. If you look on the drawing, if you scroll down a little further, Amelia, to show the pink section there, they want to get that phase 1A section done. And Coastland has provided their second review of all the water, sewer, and drainage plans back on that. And also a drainage study has been resubmitted for second comments, and it's under review by Coastland and Sacramento County as well. As well as on the sewer side, there's a concern with an existing sewer line further down on Reynosa Drive, where two opposing flows come into a manhole. And so we're addressing that with the project and Coastland as well. The issue is you have a 6-inch flow coming from one direction and a 10-inch flow coming from another direction. And the reason the Riverview's projects and we are concerned with that is the Riverview project's going to be adding to that 10-inch flow. And when it comes in, they kind of oppose each other, and the 10-inch flow backs up the 6-inch flow. So ideally, in a sewer manhole, you're going to, if you have two opposing flows coming into them of differing flows, there should be a drop into the manhole. So one falls into the other, and they're not hydraulically opposing each other. So that's being addressed and looked at. And I believe we'll have a conference call with the project engineers either tomorrow or the day after. It's something in the process of coordinating with Lori Loeza of Coastland and the project engineers for which are McKay and Sumps for the Riverview project. Any questions on that section?
Paul, this is Les Clark again. I just had a question. There was some chatter that RMA was asking for revisions to the plan, including some widening of streets and some possible concerns over parking on the Phase 1A cul-de-sac. That, if that's successful, that would change the drainage, the impervious surfaces and the drainage plan, and might change some of the drainage location of the drainage facilities. So the just CSD, I'm sure, is alert to any potential changes that that might occur as a result of those discussions with RMA.
Yep, so if any changes do occur, they would have to resubmit and then we'd have to re-review that. But the project engineers have said that these plans that they have already been submitted years ago and approved years ago at the county and with the district. So they do not intend on having any revisions to it, as a heads up. So moving forward, is it okay to move forward to the chlorine gas to bleach conversion update?
Absolutely, let's go for it.
All right, so as an update to the project, Tom wanted me to provide a status of where we're at and what's left to be done as we're doing a lot of work, spending a lot of money. But I want to also convey that even though we have spent a lot of money, it's even less than the money just to have a consultant put together what the project would entail. So we're actually getting work done versus just putting it down on a piece of paper and saying what needs to be done. So I appreciate the board for allowing me to move forward in this direction because it saves the district and that sewer budget quite a bit of money to allow us to proceed in this manner. So project status, we started the project around January 2020, got approval back in December of 2019 to proceed on it. And we've got two new chemical feed tanks installed, a new chemical feed trench and piping to the chemical feed skids. And the chemical feed skids are installed as well, and the electrical attached in for those. New water supply system and valving for the dilution of one of the chemical tanks. New conduit and wires routed from the chemical tanks back to the PLC control room within the building, and all piping work's nearly completed. And we're getting the chemical tank ladders attached to the bases of the tanks and are working through that as well. There's just a little bit of an issue with that fixing to the base of the concretes that we installed. And one of the other things that's updated. So I apologize as I, some things were left off of this. We also, a big part of the project was that we separated out at the chemical tank farm, the secondary containments for these new tanks to separate acids from bases, because you don't want acids and bases to mix. It causes explosions, bad chemical reactions. And so utility staff formed and poured new walls and to separate the secondary containment. So if the tanks had a leak, that those chemicals would be contained. And they also painted those areas, and they did a great job with that as well. And what's left to be done is we need to complete some piping at our tertiary pump station. The tertiary pump station is where we pull the water out of the storage reservoirs and feed it into the DAF units. And then there's a lot of work left to be done with the programmable logic controllers as it relates to all the various I/O for control, and I/O is like the input-output controls in relation to the chemical feed systems, the transfer pump, chemical transfer pump for the tanks. And then once all that, all the wiring and programming for that is done within the PLC, that information then needs to be routed over to the SCADA system, which is supervisory control and data acquisition within a software program on a computer that allows you to basically click via a mouse on a screen on graphics and control your facility. And so those screens need to be developed, the graphics need to be developed, and the logic, ladder logic for programming needs developed as well. And to do that, there's also some software updates that need to take place within the computer systems, which includes adding two more software programs from the Rockwell, which is the brand name of the SCADA system we have, which includes FactoryTalk Historian and FactoryTalk Vantage Point Trending. So that takes that input-output data and not only for the tanks, but for the facility, they're going to update it, that we can get trends for everything within the facility. So we can see, you know, the tank levels have been dropping at this rate over, you know, X amount of hours. And so we can see our feed rates and information like that. Or if all of a sudden the tank went from 10 feet down to 2 feet and 2 hours, we know we got a leak. And we got to address it, that kind of information. So it's critical information we need to develop. We also need to complete a lot of electrical services, which include calibration of the tank level indicators, and then a lot of miscellaneous work that includes installing weather covers for the indicating transmitters, repairing and rerouting of some conduits, because the alum tanks on the other side there, they had the conduits, electrical conduits within the secondary containment, which is a no-no, because if they ever filled up with chemical, they could potentially corrode or contaminate that electrical. So you don't want to do that. Remove all that stuff out of there. Excuse me, let me get back. I'm doing a lot of this from memory instead of just reading verbatim. Install an HOA control for the chemical transfer pump, telemetry wire back to the PLC number 2 for control. So anything that has like wiring, like not only for power, you have to have control wiring routed to and from any piece of equipment that you want to control via the SCADA system. That's important to remember as we move forward in the future and start automating a lot of things at the wastewater facility. So for future projects, we'll need to be doing a lot of that as well so we can control things, because most of that facility is pretty manual right now. And then install additional telemetry wires back to the tertiary pump station and install a new chlorine analyzer so it can provide feedback control to our PLC SCADA system. So we'll set like a target chlorine residual that we want the computer system to meet. That chlorine monitor will provide that information of where, if it's at like a one part per million residual, and we want it to be at a five part per million residual. It knows to speed the pumps up and vice versa, so that it has automatic control of the system, because right now everything's manual. Staff has to go out and grab samples, test them in handheld kits back in the lab, and then run around and manually turn pump speeds up and down and test the strength of the chemicals being fed and stuff like that. So hopefully once all these systems in place, that's going to eliminate a lot of labor for staff and make them more efficient as well. As I mentioned, order install the chlorine residual monitoring equipment needs to be done. And then once all this is done as well, have everything drawn out on CAD so we can show that all the work that's been completed and update our facility drawings. And as a final item that needs to be done, then we'd revise our hazardous material business plans for the wastewater reclamation plant to show that we have a certain volume of hazardous chemicals on site and update that information. And as it relates to the project, this is a capital improvement project listed as 1807-2. Had an approved budget of $266,140. That number came from a coastland study. And to date, we had spent close to $127,000. And I provided my section of my spreadsheet to show what our costs were so far. Amelia, if you scroll down a little further, and two items pending approval are in red there for some more electrical work, and a big portion of the work that's necessary from Tesco Controls, which is another item in the packet, to proceed on. And that includes all the work I mentioned as it relates to the SCADA updating and programmable logic controller updating. And then I just outlined the sequence of work that's occurred to date. And if you could scroll down project photos, Amelia, you can see the new tanks that are in place. At the bottom, a little further, you see the, that brown line there is the new chemical feed trench and plates. So it's traffic rated plates on top. Scroll down a little further, Amelia. You can see the new chemical feed skids that are in place and the new conduit and wiring on the back wall behind them. We also cleaned up that room, painted the whole room, the floors and the walls. So it looks a lot cleaner in there as well. If you scroll down, Amelia. This shows the new water supply utility staff provided for the dilution system. So they put in a meter to meter that flow and a backflow prevention device. It's also being fed via an air gap for double protection there as well. And scroll down a little further, and that's it. And then what's provided there below is the update I gave to the board back in December to allow me to proceed to piecemeal this project with staff and get it done with staff time and labor. And that's it. Is any questions as to where we're at?
So Paul, back on the budget, the completion of the electrical, the Tesco controls, and that's it? We're no. Complete?
No, still the engineering, it's pretty close to it. So Tesco, as part of that that portion of work that's outlined there, they would update the drawings. So their engineering staff would do that because that's what they do. They update electrical engineering drawings and chemical feed drawings and that type of stuff. With their control systems, as well as the update of control system drawings as to what they would, all the logic that they would be updating in the PLCs. So pretty darn close, but I still need to, in addition to those costs there, I still need to purchase a the chlorine meter. That's about $10,000, including installation, and then some more piping work. So probably another $1,000 worth of piping and materials.
So the hazardous changes to the hazardous plans.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In-house? Is that done in-house?
Yeah, that's something I do.
Okay. Very good. Any more questions for Paul on this? Hearing none, I would just say kudos. This was very impressive. Very impressive project. I like the organization. It looks good. I'm impressed. Nice job.
I appreciate that. One of the things, unfortunately, I didn't account for is staff time and labor as it relates to this project. We just accounted for our labor in the wastewater operations budget. So.
Got an estimate on what that was? Or are we right at the budget, or did we go over with that?
We're, as far as I know, we're still within budget as it relates to sewer labor, and we usually have, we're going to have some wiggle room in that because over the winter months when the sewer systems, like the reclamation plants off, most of the staff time spent on the water side of our budget. So, by the time spring rolls around, that balances out pretty well.
Great. So let's move on to discussing the sole source approval.
Okay. So as part of that remaining work that's necessary, I recommend that we approve Tesco Controls, Inc. For an amount of $86,980 plus the 15% contingency. I don't anticipate the contingency being needed. It's just something the improvements committee had requested in the past, so we don't have to come back to the board for items of concern that arise. And everything that's listed out of what they would do is bullet pointed below here. If you can scroll down, Amelia, so you can see all that information. And we had approved them in the past for sole source, and we were allowed to do that per our district purchasing code section 7.03. They are the supplier of the PLC and the SCADA system. They've got all the information and data, so it makes it advantageous for them to be doing that work as they have all that information already. It gets it done in a timely manner as well. And they provided a sole source letter because they do sole source work as well for other communities. If you notice with Sacramento County and pretty much all over the state, like every traffic control box on every corner is a Tesco control box. So they've got pretty exclusive, big static shock there. They've got a exclusive use of, or I should say, anyways, any questions?
Looks like do we need to approve this and send it on to the board? Is that what we need to do here, Tom?
You have Tom muted.
Yeah, we need to take it to the board and get approved.
Okay. I guess it goes unsaid, Paul, that you've looked at this number and it looks reasonable to you.
Yes, sir.
Martin, any comments or?
I'm in favor of doing that. I don't think we want to have mixed systems out there.
Yeah, me too. Okay, consider it done. Let's move on to.
I'll move this to the board for the December meeting.
Yes, ma'am. Let's move on to approval of costs for East DAF repairs.
Hey, Amelia, if you could go to that section, please. Then, Amelia, if you could just skip down to the drawing real quick, please. So that item highlighted in pink there is the saturation tank. And it's listed here as saturation pressure vessel. So what that does is that puts air and water under pressure to saturate that water with air. So then when it's fed back into the inflow of the tank and released through a differential pressure valve, it creates a lot of fine bubbles. And that's how a dissolved air flotation tank works, is all these micro bubbles then float up to the surface and float up the algae and allow surface skimmers to skim that algae off as part of the clarifying process of that tank. And so that pink item there, that saturation tank, saturation pressure vessel, I should say, is corroded. It was installed in 1991, so I think it's got a pretty good use life out of it. And it's actually got a pinhole leak in it right now, which was discovered right at the tail end of the season. So it's kind of timely that it only occurred at the tail end of the season. And as I had mentioned earlier, the one that functions for the West DAF has already been replaced with a stainless steel one. And this is a request to do the same. However, in doing some research and reaching out to vendors, and let me just back up real quick. So we solicited quotes for replacement of that tank vessel and got two quotes back. And what I would like to do is proceed with the recommendation to have NJ McCutcheon Inc. replace that tank, but allow me to also investigate another option. And the reason I'm coming forward now and not holding off another month is that I want to be able to exercise options in a timely manner, because I'm afraid of lead times because of holidays and COVID. What this other option is you can see highlighted in yellow, if you could go to the drawing again, Amelia. Oh, you're there. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my own PDF. You are there. So highlighted in yellow are those recycle pumps. There's a new type of system that exists for DAF units that they get rid of that saturation pressure vessel, that pink item. And those recycle pumps are replaced with a Venturi suction pump called an EDUR pump. EDUR is some special acronym they came up for the pump. I don't recall what it means, but basically the pump functions by suctioning air into the pump while it's pumping through centrifugal pump. And it allows that air to then saturate, and you can get rid of having a pressure vessel. And if you scroll down a little further in the packet, Amelia, please. I provide a little drawing there. So that's what that EDUR pump would look like. It would get rid of those light gray items you see on the side where you have a compressor and a conventional pump and a saturation tank. This would just sucks in air into that pump system and then creates tiny bubbles when it goes back out into the tank inflow. And one vendor is saying that their other customers that have installed those are very happy. They say it's actually functioning so well that they don't have to add any additional chemicals into their inflow line. So for example, we add aluminum sulfate to help coagulate the algae as it's coming in. He's saying we could potentially get rid of that aluminum sulfate use up front. And if we could do that, that would save us quite a bit of money. However, I haven't gotten a quote on what these pumps cost. And I have yet to check any references on it. So I still want to explore this option, but I don't want to completely eliminate it because it sounds like a very good idea if it works. Any questions?
So we don't know how much this other system costs, and we're asking for $33,000 to replace the existing. I guess you're saying if it looks like a good idea, you'll bring it back to the improvements committee with a different proposal and a different cost. Is that?
I hope to actually get information by time of the December board meeting. So I was hoping to update the board at that point with, or put within the board packet a recommendation of how I wish to proceed for the facility.
Okay, so, but the approval today is based on the quotes that we've got to replace the existing, and if that changes, your proposal will change.
Correct.
Okay. Martin?
Do we have some time available to do all this? Does that pump have to be replaced immediately, the existing one? You said it's got a leak.
Yeah, so the facility's offline now. And typically we kick the reclamation facility on any time from April 15th to June 1st, typically. It's all weather dependent. So if we have a lot of rainfall this winter, we usually have to kick the facility on earlier, such as April 15th. If we don't get a lot of rainfall, then we'll turn the facility on later. So that's just, we want to be able to typically get the facility back on by June 1st is kind of a target date as of right now. We still have the west side that we're able to run if we can't get the east side functioning in time. But just want to be ready to supply the country club with recycled water as soon as they start calling for it. That's the only concern with a timeline.
Sounds like there's time. I don't know the lead times on this equipment, but you also have to do some repairs to that tank, the other tank. So let's hope it all comes together.
Yep, that's the plan. And you know, I could postpone this all until January. You know, but as I mentioned, I'm concerned with lead times, and especially, you know, in light of this COVID scenario that everybody's dealing with, you know, a lot of manufacturers lately haven't kept anything on the shelf and everything's built to order. And if they're getting parts from China or Germany or who knows where, you know, shipping can take a long, long time, especially with, you know, issues with COVID and warehouses and different things like that from what we've been hearing. So that's my concern with timelines. But under normal circumstances, I could have postponed taking this. I just want to make you all aware of the situation we're dealing with, that we do have a quote available to replace the existing saturation pressure vessel with a stainless steel one. And if we went that option, it's, you know, still a great viable option. We know it works. It's just that if we go to this pump system, it may be a better option. We just don't know yet. And I've reached out to two different EDUR pump manufacturers and have yet to hear back.
So, Amelia, it sounds like the recommendation of the committee to the board is that we approve $33,068 to fund this, and that's a tentative approval subject to Paul coming up with another way of attacking this that may have a different amount attached to it. Does that sound right, Martin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on this? Hearing nothing, let's move on to the idea for raw water use around Laguna Joaquin.
So I'm going to share my screen real quick.
I've stopped sharing my screen. You should be able to share, Paul.
All right, here we go. Everybody see my mouse moving around?
There you are.
All right. So highlighted here in white are the areas that RMA currently irrigates around Laguna Joaquin and within the front of the community. They also irrigate all along the North Parkway, all the way up to Lake Chesbro. I just hadn't had time to draw that in quite well. So as I click on this, I have an idea of we could pull water, raw water from the Chesbro Reservoir from this point, and they do irrigate around here as well and down the parkway. And I click on this point, this line I drew in, that if we put in a submersible pump system in Chesbro, we could easily tie into their existing irrigation system that exists around Chesbro Circle and down the parkway to not only then supply Laguna Joaquin, we could dump it back in at the same point it comes in, or they could dump it in up here, back through the, where their existing pump station is, depending on how they wanted to feed it through their existing irrigation system. Or they could use that pump itself to irrigate all these, everything around Chesbro Circle and along the parkway. Because as everybody knows, going up the main parkway, they irrigate that green strip median all the way up the North Parkway. So you see that's a pretty good distance. So I thought this would be a really good idea. It's raw water, just like the raw water they use from this existing pump station here out at Laguna Joaquin. They would have the same exact raw water rate. Our consultant, Terry Madsen, who was developing the raw water rate, said the raw water rate should just be a single rate. And that's the way it was developed when we proposed it last spring. So there would be no cost change at all to RMA. The quality of water out of Chesbro is much better. So there would be no issues with that. And then it'd also be better for the people that walk around here. They wouldn't worry about, you know, a lot of people complain that, you know, when they let their dogs off their leash, the dog's running through the grasses and getting their feet wet with the water that's irrigated out of Laguna Joaquin, which isn't the cleanest. And then this also provides us the option, us and RMA, the option that if they wanted to re-release water from Chesbro back into Laguna Joaquin, they could refresh it anytime as needed. And then they wouldn't be held hostage by the CIA saying they want all the water for use down on the ranches down here. So that would be, I think, a great option. It's just an idea, something Tom and I will discuss with RMA when we have time. And then that could release us from potentially any concerns with, like we run into with the RMA right now. And Amelia, I think you have everybody muted. So if you can unmute them and see if they've got any comments, please.
Questions for Paul?
Everyone will have to unmute themselves. I do have one hand raised from Jim Crowder. Go ahead,
morning, sir. Paul. Morning, Paul. I've got one question. I do like the concept of not reusing that water from Laguna Joaquin. And I know there would be additional costs. What is it possible for us to use reclaimed water?
Hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm not sure what I clicked the wrong button and now it went into a flight simulator. Excuse me. So the issue with reclaimed water in Laguna Joaquin is that if there's any runoff into Laguna Joaquin, that's considered all reclaimed water. Unless the State Water Resources Control Board changes their opinion of incidental recycled water use, then we have to consider that would be an issue. So as of the way the regulatory system exists right now, that if that ran off, and if you've ever seen the RMA's irrigation along the parkway and, you know, around Laguna Joaquin, it's running off pretty considerably. They'd have to probably completely redo their whole irrigation system. They would have to remove any irrigation heads close to Laguna Joaquin, create berms so there isn't runoff, that any irrigation waters are retained on those irrigation sites. I believe there's a drain inlet and a couple of those grass areas on the Lindero side. Those would probably have to be capped or raised or protected somehow. So it's possible, but it's not simple, and especially regulatory wise. And then not only that, then potentially the CIA, if they ever wanted to put any regulatory storage in Laguna Joaquin and re-release it back to the ranch, they may have concerns as to that as well.
Okay, I just raised that question because, I mean, I don't want to sound negative, but I'm just concerned about us going into another cycle of a drought. You know, 1, 2, 3 years, and reclaimed water that's going to be our savior.
Yes, yeah, and that's our intent as well, is to up our recycled water use, but as it exists right now, we don't have excess recycled water. We don't even have enough available to supply the country club's full demand. That's why the country club pulls water out of the river at the front end of the irrigation season. So there's not even enough recycled water as it exists right now. But typically, like the last drought we had, we had about 2.5 years of supply on hand from our reservoirs. So that's, you know, you could keep that whole area green just with raw water. And so I think that would provide a good option and source for that, from pulling it from Chesbro.
So Paul, any idea on the cost of this submersible pump in Chesbro, and I guess there'd be an electrical bill associated plus maintenance. And am I, second question here is, right now, is RMA runs that pump station at Laguna Joaquin, right? So
yes.
Right now, I guess what we would be doing is taking something that is on their table as far as costs and moving it to us, or maybe we're not. Maybe we're too preliminary to start thinking about who's going to pay for all this. If it's a good idea, it's a good idea, right? But am I on the right track here?
Yes. So, like you said, they already pay for pumping from Laguna Joaquin. So they pay for the pumping costs, and they pay the community services district, us, for that water use. So we have a meter on that, that meters that raw water use. As Chesbro's higher in elevation and feeding down there, I would assume the pumping costs would be less, because you have all that head coming down the parkway. What the pump cost would be, I don't know, but yes, you would have to put in a electrical pedestal out in that area and a little bit of new piping to route it back over to Chesbro Circle. I think for the long-term viability of the community there, I think it's a slam dunk having that option available. Even, you know, various times you could be feeding raw water from Laguna Joaquin, or if water's not available in Laguna Joaquin, you know, through the CIA, then you start pulling it from Chesbro, you know, so it gives you options. And I think, you know, unless like at one point in the future, RMA just wants to go to a total dryscape along those areas and remove all the grass around Laguna Joaquin, you know, if they're going to continue to irrigate all that stuff, I think this is a slam dunk. And I think any costs would be more than paid back for in the future, especially with the water quality there.
So, Paul, this is Martin. So is my understanding you want to use the existing piping along the parkway to accomplish this? Is that right?
Yes, but we probably have to bring in, when I say we, it'd probably have, you know, since it's RMA system, RMA would probably have to bring in like an irrigation engineer to calc out what's needed. I would assume they'd probably have to put a pressure reducing valve or two along that line somewhere to be able to keep the pressures from getting too high at the bottom end of the system due to the head coming from Chesbro.
Is that a good sized pipe?
I don't know. I don't know the details of RMA's irrigation system. From what I know, they basically know where it's at. They just don't have it drawn out on the set of plans, as far as I know.
So I think it's always a good idea to discuss this with RMA, but would that transfer maintenance responsibilities to CSD?
No. We would just like we do at Laguna Joaquin, have a meter on the system just to meter the water coming out of Chesbro.
Okay.
And this is Amelia. I do have a comment from John Sullivan. He sent me a chat. He said, I object to Paul's comment about CIA holding RMA hostage. After all, RMCSD is partners in the CIA.
That was poor choice of words. I apologize.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
Anything else on this?
Yes, I do have one more hand raised. I believe that Jim, you've got your hand raised again, Mr. Crowder. And yes. Then Mr. Sullivan has a comment.
Okay. Paul, question for you. Just getting me up to speed on pumps. You're saying it's going to be an electrical pump. Do they make any other pumps that are alternate power source, like solar?
They do, but not that would probably have the horsepower to put that out. And I'm sure the residents along Chesbro wouldn't want a solar field in their backyards there.
Anybody else, Amelia?
John Sullivan, are you able to comment? Can we hear you? Let me make sure I don't have him muted.
John, is that 4360, Amelia?
It says yourself, press *6, John. There you go.
So, the map that Paul referred to with irrigation areas, is that, can we bring that back up?
So that was very roughly and quickly drawn, by the way. I just
did we get that from Rod as to where all his lines run from that pump station?
No. This is just an idea I tried to visually convey. I haven't ran it by Rod Hart yet. I verbally have discussed it with Rod, but this is to put it, you know, down on something so I could show it visually. I'll show my screen again real quick, if you don't mind, Amelia.
Yep. You should be able to share now.
And share. So I whipped this together real quick, and I'm still new to Google Earth Pro and learning on providing these layers here. So I just quickly drew around the what looked green on a satellite view. I'm sure.
Do you have any idea what the square footage is on all that wide area that you just highlighted?
Yeah, it does provide it, but again, as I said, I just really quickly threw this together, and they irrigate, like you can see the hand on the mouse here. They irrigate, you know, areas up along here, and I don't have the areas within the parkway all highlighted either. So it would be very incomplete, but it does provide that. Yeah, when you draw these, it gives you the square footages and stuff. I just don't recall.
But without adding the parkway, it would be worthwhile to know what just you're currently showing there around Laguna Joaquin. That would be valuable to have.
Yeah, I'm sure I could figure it out if I did it correctly.
I'm sure Rod Hart has got all that information. He knows how much he's irrigating. So, but in the overall picture, that whatever he's irrigating there right now is coming out of Laguna Joaquin, which is coming out of the water system someplace. So I don't think we're definitely not adding anything. It's got to all balance.
Yep. And it's just an idea at this point. So.
Yep. Very good. Very good idea, I think. I think it's very, very much worth pursuing. Amelia, anybody else?
I do not have any chats. Let me double check. And no hands up. I think we did it.
Okay. Let's move on to discussing the RFP for engineering and construction inspection services.
So we have put the, you know, updated the engineering RFP that we had put out when we solicited and got Coastland as our engineering services. We're looking to put that out again as soon as we can, and then provide and request that construction inspection services be an alternate bid item on there. And we wanted to specifically line out what it is we're looking for with engineering services. And so this is just bringing to the attention of the improvements committee what it is we're doing, and that we'll be putting it out to bid soon. So we hope to have this all done by the February 2nd improvements committee. Anybody has any questions? Or Tom, if you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, this is Martin. Could you explain to me why we're separating out construction inspection services?
So the concern was that when you're using engineers for construction inspection services, the costs can run high for the developers. And so we're looking to facilitate development and find specific construction inspection services that maybe don't have costs that are so high, but also provide the work that's necessary to ensure that the district's facilities that we'll be accepting meet all our standards and county standards.
Second question with regard to construction inspection, isn't there sometimes a need for construction testing?
Yes, sometimes. And then within the RFP, I believe I put that in there that occasionally you need specialty services contracted out, and that would need to be done on a like a time and materials type basis and listed out. And so sometimes that mostly like most engineering services contract out like surveying, for example. Not every engineering service has that on staff. And sometimes they're CAD services. Sometimes engineering firms also contract that out to specific vendors that do that type of work as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that?
No comment.
Let's move on to update the RFP for environmental consulting services for Laguna Joaquin.
So this is just a discussion item. Tom and I will be meeting with members of RMA today to go through the two bids that were received. Tom and I have those bids and have scanned through those, but we're going to be going through them in detail with RMA to see what their concerns and what their recommendations of who to proceed with are. We don't have those costs as of yet. We're going to score them as it relates to their proposals as one, and then costs secondly later. And so that's being looked at today. Both proposals look very good. They look like they're both very knowledgeable in what they do and providing this type of service we're looking for to help us resolve the various situations going on with Laguna Joaquin. Do you want to add anything, Tom? Or?
Yeah, this is Tom. This is really complicated. And like Paul said, both the firms who got back to us with their proposals have a variety of talent to deal with the various issues related to Laguna Joaquin. The insects, the water quality, the potential for dredging, how to deal with, the health of the Laguna Joaquin Basin. And as you know, the board approved the district's contribution towards this, towards these services at the last board meeting. The board approved $30,000 going forward. And the RMA is clearly responsible for the land that is under the water that we're responsible for. So this is a step forward. I don't know, it's kind of a murky idea that what we're gonna try and fix with Laguna Joaquin, and it's very complex, and hopefully we can have something, some sort of positive work done to improve the quality of the water and the quality of the land before we start getting into June, July next year when those midge flies appear annually. So really no answers other than this is a step we need to take to move ahead and try to solve the problem before next year.
Great, thank you for that. Next item on the agenda is discussing an RFP for on-call electrical services.
So again, this is just a discussion item, but what I want to do is put out a request for a proposal for on-call electrical services. Currently, when we do electrical work, most of it's unfortunately emergency. We have issues with equipment failing after hours or weekends or, you know, when we least expect it. And so we've got a lot of aging infrastructure we're dealing with, as well as we have a lot of upgrade projects, such as the sodium hypochlorite project that we're doing. And then we're going to be doing the sodium hypochlorite upgrade at the water plant, hopefully next year as well. And so instead of having to constantly go out to bid and search for electrical services, I want to put it out to bid and have somebody on contract for 3 years. So we can just have this prevailing wage work done and accounted for and just simplify our process with having the necessary work we need to have done. Our existing mechanic can do some basic electrical, but we've got a lot of high voltage electrical that he can't do or does not have the expertise to do, as well as control systems that he doesn't have the expertise with as well. So a lot of these things you gotta contract out, especially as it relates to OSHA concerns and safety. And so I'm going to be looking to put that out to bid soon as well. Got that RFP about 80% done. Any questions on that?
I think it's a good idea.
Yep, I do. I also agree. I think it's probably something that that should have been done prior, and good job for picking up on it. So let's move on to discussing the potential protest to our upstream water right application.
So I did make this, you know, I had it as a discussion item, but I whipped a memo up at the end of the day yesterday. So that's why it's in the packet here. Hopefully, you guys had time to read it, but long and the short of it is we received a water rights application from a wine company that's up on our watershed. It's a pretty nominal amount of eight acre feet. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I went back and forth as it relates to what we could do. And the only thing that really, if we wanted to protest it at all, would be to protest a prior rights concern. If it conflicts with our existing water right, where we divert from the Cosumnes River, you know, which we'd normally be doing now once the river's over 70 CFS and the water's clear. So it probably, you know, probably is not going to affect anything. I put this long-winded memo together just to inform you of what it is we could do, what a potential cost would be. But after thinking about it further last night, I don't think it's necessary with the district really do anything on this. I talked to our consultant. If it, you know, if it's good for us, when I say us, the district, to file a protest to make it look like we're protecting our, you know, to show to protect our main water right and our other water rights for diversion. And they said, no, it wouldn't make a difference. So at this point, I would suggest we don't do anything. And it's just a item to bring to your attention.
Okay. Tom, any thoughts? Have you been talking to Paul about this?
Yeah, Paul and I talked about it, and just putting in spending $300 to put our name on the list for a prior right. To me, I don't know if it matters or not. I would defer to Paul and his conversation with our consultants. And if their suggestion is that we do nothing, then that's fine with me. Eight acre feet. Paul, how many acre feet do we pull out of the Cosumnes River every year to fill the pores?
Approximately 2,200 every year.
Okay. So
I'd like to comment.
Go ahead, John.
The only problem I had with this application. It's been in there since 2017. It's Leon Sabone, who lives in Rancho Murrieta. And it is for two ponds for him to divert from Pigeon Creek into two ponds and then irrigate about the same amount of acres. But I think it's about 9 acres of vineyard. The only issue that I would have is the June period. We know that if we're pulling water out of the river during November till May 31st, that the flow in the river's got to be 70 cubic feet per second or thereabouts, and their surface flow at McConnell. So we should have no issue with him diverting into those ponds until May 31st. If we're in the process of, you know, pulling water to in May to, you know, add to the batter boards and give us the extra storage, there's got to be flow in the river to do that. And his amount that he's going to divert into those ponds are not an issue. But after June 1, it is an issue because then it affects the other riparians. So I would just like to talk to the Omochumnas guys and then come back with a recommendation collectively, so we don't have two protests if that's what we want to do. Typically, he should be able to put water in those ponds through the end of May and have, he would have 1 acre foot remaining of irrigation, and that would get him through any normal year for the grapes. Once they, I don't want to get technical, but once they turn color, when they get their, when the veraison happens from there until the end is about 1 acre foot of water. And that usually happens in June or early July. So that's the only comment I have, is maybe we don't do anything on this, and I'll talk to Omochumnas Hartnell and we'll come back with a suggestion. This doesn't require a protest to go in till December 22nd.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Anybody else on this item? Hearing none, let's move on.
To Paul with a suggestion offline, I don't have to keep track of this.
Yeah, when I received this information from the State Water Resources Control Board, which, you know, as John mentioned, this application came in on June 15th, 2017. We received this, you know, just like a week ago or a week or two ago. And when I got it, I forwarded it to John and to Jay Schneider as well. So as local people of concern with riparian rights and consume this river flows as well. So yeah, I'll work with John as to whatever information he provides back with his discussions with potentially Jay or Leland. So.
And I do have another question from Les Clark. Is this water included in the CSD water supply master plan?
What, Paul, have you got an answer for that?
Well, I guess the answer would be no. This is a new application for use upstream. So it's not an impact that had been added. No, the answer is no. But it would be one that we could, if anything's updated in the future, have it looked at.
Okay.
Can I make another comment?
Certainly.
Did anybody look at the water rights section? Paul, maybe you looked at the, what's it called, WIMS, Water Management Information System, at Water Board?
It's ERIS.
Yeah. So they have propagated that website with, I think, the entire state water rights system, and I just discovered it after I started looking at this application. But it's information upstream for consumers that we probably ought to click on and print out for the Integrated Water Master Plan update next time. I think it shows every diversion that is legal on the river. So it's, I think it's worth, you know, spending a little time or, you know, getting somebody to do the research. It's really fascinating to look at, and it's an incredible amount of data, and it's, you know, I never thought they'd ever get to the point of being able to report that online without having to talk to somebody. So it's good stuff. So worth looking at.
Yeah. And I want to further add to that comment, because before you could kind of you could look up the water rights, but you had no idea where they were coming from, because they gave you all this, you know, northing and easting jargon, and you had no idea where it was coming from. They wouldn't give you like a GPS coordinate, you know. So unless you were a surveyor, you had no idea where that was being diverted. So this new system's, yeah, excellent.
So this is Tom. What I think we should do is kind of meet with John next week and see what he has to say from his research. And we can both do the same thing and leverage, you know, the fact that there's two or three of us here. And if we need to put in a protest from the prior rights, which looks to make sense to me, versus the more expensive one, which I think would be way expensive, then we'll do that. And we can just report back to the committee next month what we ended up doing. This is a great discussion, because water rights are very critical to everything here at Rancho Marietta. So, John, I'll give me a call, or let me know when you want to sit down and go over what you discover, and then we can develop a coordinated plan. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Thank you. Thank you. Very good.
Very well.
I don't have any hands up, and no more chats.
All right. So let's move on to comments. Anything from staff, comments or suggestions?
Just a heads up that utility staff has a water leak today, tomorrow, and the day after, all in Rancho Murrieta South. And those are updated on our website.
Okay. Martin, anything?
No, just kudos to Paul for keeping our equipment maintained. And I'm sure there's other things out there we're going to have to deal with, but I think the process was good.
I second that. You know, a lot of what we covered this morning, total kudos to Paul for staying on top of this stuff and being as organized as he is and coming up with ideas and plans to solve problems. And so I just couldn't be happier to be involved in the improvements committee right now, the way everything's falling together. It's great, and I thank everybody that's involved in it. It's been a worthwhile venture. Anything else from anybody? If not, we will adjourn. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate the comments too.
Bye.
Yeah, Paul.
Thank you.